This is The Record on KUOW. I'm Ross Reynolds. The sound of the day in Hong Kong for the past week or so has been pro-democracy protesters taking to the streets. They're demanding the right to elect a new city leader without interference from the Chinese central authority. We've been asking your thoughts on the demonstrations, particularly those of you who've spent some time in Hong Kong or maybe grew up there. Here's what we heard from one of you earlier today.
I was in China. I was in Shanghai, actually, in June of 89, when they were protesting for democracy. And I was in Beijing shortly after that. I was in Beijing before that, and the pro-democracy demonstrators, the students and workers, were allowed to gather in Tiananmen Square, and a month later, they were all dead. So my advice to the people of Hong Kong is be careful. There's a precedent that's been set, and the Chinese government could crack down and kill you all.
We don't know how many people died in the Tiananmen Square protests. Estimates run between 500 and 3,000. Well, do you have connections to Hong Kong and China? Are you concerned about protesters in the streets and Tiananmen Square happening again? What are your thoughts about the pro-democracy demonstrations? Give us a call. Our listener feedback line is open. We're at 206-221-3663. That's 206-221-3663. It's time for News from the North. Each week, Vancouver Sun columnist Vaughn Palmer joins us to talk about news from Canada. Vaughn, thanks again.
Hi, Ross.
There's a tight association between Hong Kong and Vancouver, so much so that the city was once known as Hong-couver. First of all, why is there that connection?
Well, hundreds of thousands of connections. People who came to Vancouver from Hong Kong, people who came to Vancouver from Hong Kong, bought property back in the days of anxiety in the after Tiananmen Square and went back to Hong Kong on Canadian passports. I think it was a story in the Vancouver Sun this week that estimated 300,000 Hong Kong residents have Canadian passports. So they move back and forth. There's lots of homes in Vancouver that are owned by people based in Hong Kong. So everyone is watching this thing with apprehension. Obviously, you just had a report from somebody who's rightly hoping it doesn't turn into Tiananmen Square again. I think it's still some distance from that, but yeah, there's a lot of interest in British Columbia, a lot of interest in Vancouver about what's going on in Hong Kong.
I don't know if you can summarize, but it would be fair to say that folks who've come from Hong Kong to Vancouver are generally supportive of the pro-democracy demonstrations going on in Hong Kong?
I would say there are two thoughts that are being held in mind, near as I can determine from the coverage and the people that have spoken out. One is that there is sympathy for the separate but equal society that was established in Hong Kong when Hong Kong was returned to China by the British. There's a respect for that and an appreciation that there has been some autonomy allowed in Hong Kong. The other side of it is the strong business connections, the interest in the business community, and the reason Hong Kong is regarded so highly is because it is such a thriving place. The other thought that people are holding in mind is a hope that the protesters and the demonstrators don't go too far, don't provoke the kind of crackdown that China did in Tiananmen Square, obviously. And as I said, I think we're a long way from that, but it's apprehensive. There's a sense that you're skating along a knife edge, I think, in the comment, both supportive of the protesters, but hoping they don't go too far.
Well, there's another international issue which is drawing in Canada. It's already drawn in the U.S., and that's, of course, the fight against the radical group ISIS, which has taken over much of Iraq. But I understand in Canada, the Prime Minister is promising a debate on this and a vote.
Yeah. Do you say ISIS or ISIL, by the way? That seems to be a big argument in the media these days as to what you refer to this group as. But it looks as if Prime Minister Stephen Harper will be announcing in a day or two the intention to send a Canadian forces contingent to join the coalition of forces there. Probably a half dozen Canadian aircraft, CF-18s, probably a tanker as well. We already have some ground support troops with the Kurds, so there's a one-month mission already there. But the United States has requested Canada to make a contribution for air support. It sounds as if the Canadian government is getting ready to propose that. The Prime Minister has said, however, that there will be a debate in Parliament so that it's an all-party support, an all-party mission to do that.
Have any people in Parliament spoken out on this? What's your sense of Parliament if they get a chance to vote?
I think they'll support it because of the recognition, because of the multilateral aspect of this. There certainly are some apprehensions and concerns. People have said that they don't think the government has been straight with this. There are obviously concerns about getting mired there. I think Americans share those concerns, so it's not anything anybody's very enthusiastic about, but my expectation would be that if it comes to a vote in Parliament, it will be supported by representatives of the major parties. There may be some people vote against it, but I think the general view will be grudging support to moderated support.
So if Canada does decide to send some fighter jets, I understand they need to go in the shop first?
I mean, this is an irony of our Air Force. We use CF-18s, which are the old U.S. McDonnell Douglas F-18s, an aircraft from the 1970s. The government has been looking at switching to F-35s, I think they are. They're involved in the bidding process for those. But in the meantime, they've put off the purchase. They are saying they're going to have to extend the life of the existing fleet of CF-18s for another 10, 12 years. So, the numbers I've seen suggest that about a third of our Air Force is in the shop is a bit mean to put it, but being looked after at any given time. So these are the aircraft we sent to Libya. These are aircraft we sent to elsewhere. So, you know, the NATO exercises and so forth. So they're quite functional, but they're getting a little long in the tooth, and they have to be looked after carefully.
Now, I understand there's an ISIS at the University of British Columbia. Presumably, that is not where these fighter jets will be sent.
I guess if you've got ISIS in your name, you're going, oh, God, I guess we're going to have to change our name. There's an ISIS Research Institute at the University of British Columbia, and ISIS is not an acronym. It's taken from the Egyptian god ISIS, I believe, and it's a research group at the University of British Columbia, and they've announced they're going to change their name because of unfortunate associations with the Islamic terror group. So we're going to change our name. I'm not sure what they're going to call themselves, but
not ISIL, I hope.
I hope not. No, I see. According to the story in the paper, there's an art therapy training institute in the city of Toronto called ISIS Canada, a health, beauty, and adult erotica shop in Nelson, British Columbia, called ISIS Essentials, and an ISIS beauty studio in Vancouver. So I don't know whether they're going to have to change their names as well.
Vaughn Palmer from the Vancouver Sun is with us. You know, we always think of Canadians as being very moderate, but I understand there's a conservative Fox-style network in Canada that's had to walk back some controversial statements recently.
So a commentator on Sun Media TV in Canada, a guy named Ezra Levant, goes on a rant recently. A picture of Canada's Liberal Party leader, Justin Trudeau, son of former Prime Minister Pierre Trudeau, kissing the bride at a wedding in Toronto. And this guy went on a rant about promiscuity, about how called Trudeau's father a slut, said his mother was promiscuous, said this is invading the privacy of a couple at a wedding, and kissing the bride is outrageous, and so on and so on and so on. The bride, of course, and her family came out and said, well, we asked him to take his picture with us, obviously. Trudeau announced that he would boycott Sun News until they apologized. So Sun News, before this guy, commentator Levant, goes on, yesterday or the day before for his weekly commentary or his commentary, a representative of the network went on beforehand and apologized. So the guy didn't apologize himself. The network apologized, which I don't think added to the dignity of the proceedings whatsoever, but no. It's an unusual one. It's over the top. You know, we do these provocative things in the news media from time to time, but this one was tasteless and stupid. The former prime minister is dead, among other things, and calling him a slut was way out of line. I think most people recognize that.
Finally, before we go, I got to ask a cultural question. Is it untoward to kiss the bride at a wedding in Canada? I can't understand why that would provoke a rant.
You know, good Lord. I mean, Trudeau, you know, is a bit of a matinee idol. He's a controversial figure in politics. He'll be running for prime minister next year, and some people think he's running on the strength of his hair and his good looks and his family name and not his qualifications to be prime minister. There are many critical things you could say about him without descending to these depths, and, you know, many critical things will be said about him. I don't think Trudeau expects to get a free ride into the prime minister's office, but there are limits.
And when they are said, we'll hear about them from Vaughn Palmer, Vancouver Sun columnist and our weekly commentator about news from Canada. Thank you so much, Vaughn.
Bye, Ross. Talk to you next week.
You bet.